little Lynyrd Skynyrd action, Sweet Home Alabama, on your radio friend, your radio home, here in Southeast Wisconsin and all over the planet on WRJN.com. It's 15 minutes after 10 o'clock on a tremendous Tuesday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, along with my tag team partner on these community conversations, Mr. Mark Eichhorst. And it is time for our community conversations brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living. You're going to be hearing more about St. Monica's Senior Living in just a few minutes. But first, please welcome to your radio friend, Ms. Katie Scheller. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
You look good.
Thank you.
So tell me something about Katie Scheller. Are you from Sweet Home, Alabama, first of all?
No, I actually was born and raised in Racine, Wisconsin. I've lived here my entire life. I'm a graduate of St. Catharines High School, class of 1975. And I also graduated from Carthage College in 1990.
You did. Approximately, if you had to say, how many Kringles have you think you've eaten in your lifetime? Total Kringles.
Well, if I just count the raspberry, probably about 2,500.
You've eaten 2,500 raspberry Kringles by yourself?
I think so, yes.
I can eat a Kringle like nobody's business.
Me too.
There was something on the news this morning with Tom Carco about a woman who was new in the area but being sworn in for some office. All the local governments are being sworn in now. And she didn't know about Kringle until she did. It's a very important thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
In this part of the world. They even have Kringles now in northern Wisconsin. You can get them.
I mean, at one time, we were called the Kringle capital of the world.
Why aren't we still?
I don't know. It's just kind of gone away a little. But Real Racine, who we work very close with, Dave, over there, they talk, their tagline is about Kringle, too. So it's very, very important. It's almost like S.C. Johnson's.
Come on, you can't eat an S.C. Johnson.
No, but I mean, it's almost made us as well known as S.C. Johnson's has.
I think it's made us better known than S.C. Johnson. As much as we love S.C. Johnson, and we do, for all they do in the community. Don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Help me out here, Mark, a little bit. Katie Scheller is the author of Call Me Vivian, which is a true love story. I have it between my hands right now. Who's Vivian?
Well, I'm Vivian, and
I thought your name was Katie.
Well, it is, but in the story, I take on the character Vivian from Pretty Woman. If you're familiar with that movie, you know, Vivian wanted the fairy tale ending. She wanted the love story, and that's what I was seeking after many years ago. And it was interesting that you mentioned S.C. Johnson when we opened up the conversation.
Because that was the segue I was going for.
That was the segue, because for 26 years, I had a I had a great career at S.C. Johnson, and then I made a very poor decision to engage in an extramarital affair with my boss. And quite frankly, that was the beginning of the life, the end of the life I once knew. And as a result of that relationship, and as a result of a couple very poor decisions that I made, I ended up losing my job, being charged with two crimes, and spending 2 years in federal prison. Oh, and that's what this story is about. The story is about being in love with the world and being deceived by the devil and loving the things that the world has to offer, like a title in your job, or a fancy home, or an expensive car, or the things the world has to offer. And during that time, I really lost sight of my faith. And as a result of that, I made some very poor decisions. We're all given free will. And sometimes we don't make the best decisions, which is what happened to me. And then, unfortunately, I had to go through the heartache and the pain that was associated with those decisions. But the good news is God is faithful and he works all things for good. And that's really what my story is about. It's about my faith journey, about being in love with the world and then developing an intimate relationship with God, who took me on this wonderful journey of transformation that included many different assignments that I capture in the book. And he ultimately revealed my divine destiny, which was starting the Vivian Foundation, which is a foundation, a nonprofit foundation, dedicated to serving the needs of children of incarcerated parents.
All right, you just said a whole lot of stuff right there.
I did.
I'm going to reset here. We're talking with Katie Scheller. She is the author of Call Me Vivian, a true love story, which she has begun to describe. And I want to remind you that you're listening to Community Conversations brought to you by St. Monica Senior Living on WRJN. When someone you care about needs a little help, maybe it's time to look into assisted living at St. Monica's. For 45 years, St. Monica's has been providing compassionate, person-centered care for their residents on North Green Bay Road in Racine. St. Monica's is really like home, with great food, a loving staff, and a lot of activities to participate in. One of the things people love about St. Monica's is the beautiful chapel. A Catholic Mass is held every day. They host Protestant services, and all religious denominations are welcome. St. Monica's 7th Annual Senior Health Fair and Open House is coming up, too. It's tomorrow, Mark, from 9 a.m. until 1 o'clock for free health screenings, door prizes, and more. You can also take a tour of St. Monica's to see for yourself why it's so special. The move to assisted living is a big decision. Come see why St. Monica's is the right choice for so many. Visit stmonicasseniorliving.com to learn more, and be sure to attend St. Monica's Senior Living Health Fair and Open House tomorrow, April 20th, at St. Monica's Senior Living on North Green Bay Road in Racine, where you are the heart of their home. We are talking with Katie Scheller. She is the author of Call Me Vivian, A True Love Story. So you said your story was kind of like Pretty Woman, with Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. Was your ex-boss as good-looking as Richard Gere, first of all?
No comment.
we'll take that as a no. And so then you say you got mixed up in this, and then you had to go to prison. What were you tried and convicted for?
Well, I was actually charged with two crimes. My boss was engaging in racketeering, and for the listeners that don't know what that means, that's illegal business activities. And he was actually sharing in the profits of the transportation department costs with some of the suppliers of those services. And I was very close to Milt, obviously, at the time, and was in love with him.
Is that his real name?
Yes, his name is Milt Morris. And as a result of that relationship, I somewhat looked the other way. And what I was charged with was two crimes. I was charged with misprision of a felony, which is not coming forward to tell S.C. Johnson or authorities what I knew of Milt's business activities. And secondly, I was charged with making a false statement, because when I was questioned on the day that this all happened way back in 2004, I was not truthful. When I was asked whether or not I had accepted gifts in excess of $100 from suppliers, I said I had not, when indeed I had. So those were the two federal crimes that I was charged with. And as a result of a plea deal with the government, I was actually sentenced to 3 years in prison, and I served a little over 2 years, actually 740 days.
But who's counting?
I counted every one
of them. I bet you did. Where was the prison at?
It was located in Coleman, Florida, and Coleman, Florida happens to be the largest federal prison in the country. Interestingly enough, I don't think there was it was an accident that that's where I ended up, because I started a prison ministry the day I walked in there. And there's five facilities at Coleman. There's two high-security facilities for men, a medium and low-security for men, and a camp for women. And as a result of being there, I was able to, and the Lord actually did it, open the doors for us to get all sorts of many Bible reading plans that are called Just One Word. I mentioned those in the book. A number of Bibles. We started a letter writing campaign where people on the outside from my church, my family, my friends, started to correspond with inmates who would not otherwise receive mail. And then some of my friends also forwarded to me, you know, other small things that I could hand out to encourage inmates. And so I kind of hit the ground running there with my prison ministry, and God opened the doors for us to get these Bible reading plans into all five facilities while I was there. And as a result, we were able to bless thousands of inmates and bring them a little bit closer to God.
Where is Coleman? I lived in Florida for 21 years. I don't know
it's,
where Coleman is.
It's just north of Tampa. If you take I-75, it's exit 321.
Wow. I lived in Tampa.
There you go.
So on the way to Georgia.
Yes.
Kind of, sort of.
Yes.
She is Katie Scheller. She wrote the book Call Me Vivian, A True Love Story. So are you in the book? You're Vivian in the book.
Yes, I am Vivian in the book.
And who's Milt in the book?
Milt's and our relationship is captured in the book, but he does not take on a character other than himself.
And when you went to prison, did you have children?
Yes, and I still do have children.
What are their names?
Mike, Jenny, and Brian.
How old are they now?
My oldest son, Mike, is going to be 40 in November. Jenny just turned 34, and Brian is 30.
Any grandkids yet?
I do have three grandchildren.
What are their names?
Nicholas, Ben, and Colin.
Very awesome. And so, obviously, going into prison, as you did, having children, who took care of the kids when you were there?
Well, they were all adults. They could take care of themselves. And, you know, that was a real blessing for me to be, I guess, the age I was when I went in because, you know, it was very difficult on the women. And that's one of the reasons I had to be in prison for a couple of reasons. Number one, to pay back what I needed to with regards to the crime I committed. But it was a two-pronged ministry approach. I mean, the Lord took me there to teach me so that I could have 2 years of quiet time with Him to learn the Word of God to a greater degree. But you know, one of the things I asked the Lord at one point was to fill my heart with His love, fill my heart with His desires, and fill my heart with what hurts His. And there's 2.7 million children who have a mother or father in prison, and that breaks God's heart.
There's 2.7 million kids in this country?
In this country that have a mother or father in prison, and half of those children are under the age of 10.
We are the most incarcerated country in the world per capita.
Yes, we are.
And it's really something. It's 2.7 million kids. So you start this foundation, this charity called the Vivian Foundation, which helps children of incarcerated parents.
Right.
From a practical standpoint, what do you guys do?
This is what we do, and this is what I believe God's calling me to do. It's to raise awareness for these children. You know, a lot of people don't know the impact that incarceration has on kids. They're kind of forgotten, and quite frankly, had I not gone to prison, I would have never had the opportunity to understand the needs of these families. And, you know, there's three things these kids need. I worked with the administration there to understand these needs. They need a liaison when their parents or family members aren't capable or able to care for them. Number two, they need to see one another. And unfortunately, most inmates are held more than 100 miles from home. And in the federal system, inmates are held more than 500 miles from home. And the statistics will tell you that 60% of inmates never receive a visit. And I was able to see firsthand the importance, learn firsthand from my own experience the importance of these visits when my friends came to see me. But I also saw firsthand what these visits did for the mothers when their children came to see them. And the last thing that these inmates really need is they need hands-on parenting education. I was shocked to learn that more than 70% of the inmates at Coleman, the women there, did not graduate from high school. And in many instances, these were, you know, kids having kids that they never had the support group at home to understand, you know, what it was like to be a mom, and certainly didn't have the foundation to build off of. And unfortunately, many of them were not walking with the Lord. And so I went into prison not only to learn these needs, but we also started a Bible study that was held on Friday nights to bring a little bit, you know, some women a little bit closer to the Lord and teach them some of the things that they just weren't familiar with or they had never been exposed to other than this life of crime because it was a revolving door for many of them and so many others had parents and siblings incarcerated as well.
So if people want to get involved, get your book and or get involved in the Vivian Ministry for incarcerated kids, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, we have two websites, one for the book, which is called callmevivian.com, and that will take you to the book site. And from there, there's a link to the Vivian Foundation. We also have a standalone website for the foundation, the vivianfoundation.com. And what my job is and what the Lord's calling me to do, as I have already said, is to raise awareness for these kids, but then also raise money through the proceeds of the book and through donations so that as quickly as the money comes in to the Vivian Foundation, it goes back out to help these kids. And I feel very strongly that in order to help the children, we also have to help the parents. So right now I'm in the process of raising money so that I can send my book, Call Me Vivian, into prisons. I'm working with the Prison Book Project down in Sharps, Florida, who distributes books into 2,300 different prisons around the country. And I believe that I have a message of hope for inmates, that if God can do this for me, He can do it for them because the Bible clearly says that God has no favorites. And then the second thing that we're doing is we're supporting a local ministry here called Faith, Hope, and Love that is run by Heather and Mark Lajewski.
We had them on the air. Remember, she has the backpacks?
Yes.
Yeah, what Heather does, one of the legs of her ministry is she provides blast packs, which are bags that are prepared for children who are going into the prisons, local prisons here, to visit their loved ones, their mother or their father. And many times when these kids are brought into these facilities, they have to wait anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour before they see their mom or dad. And that's a long time when you're a little kid. So she's put these bags together that actually have a coloring book and crayons and maybe some Play-Doh and a stuffed animal or a blanket. And so I've partnered with her. The Vivian Foundation actually supports Faith, Hope, and Love with monetary blessings and helping them spread their story so that we can help these children. And Heather told me just this week that they prepared 60 blast packs that they just took out to a local prison, and those were gone in 3 days.
That's awesome. Well, she is Katie Scheller. She is the author of Call Me Vivian, A True Love Story, and the founder of the Vivian Foundation, a non-for-profit charitable organization established to help children of incarcerated parents. I feel a movie coming on.
Speak it. Receive it. Speak it. Believe it.
This community conversation has been brought to you by St. Monica Senior Living Center. Thanks for coming in, and good luck with the book.
Thank you very much.
This is Glenn Klein along with Mark Eichhorst. We are going to continue the community conversation on the other side of the great Tom Carco in the News coming next on WRJN.
Take part in a Madison tradition in the 35th annual Crazy Legs Classic on Saturday, April 30th.